Well, let's take our Bibles as we begin and turn to the book of Romans and chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. And as you're turning there, I just want to give you heads up as to the format this evening. First of all, we're going to challenge our minds and our hearts on Christian hospitality from God's Word. And then after that, we're going to look at practical things in doing Christian hospitality. So we begin with the heart and the head seeking to understand God's will regarding Christian hospitality. Now, before we read from Romans 12, I just want to say a few introductory comments. And I begin with an illustration. At a crime scene, police often surround the area with wide yellow tape. And of course, the message is only certain people are allowed here. The rest stay out. Now, the early church did not put yellow tape around their homes. They practiced wise hospitality. Church historians and missiologists have shown that in the early church and the early workings of Christian missions and the consistent successful work of Christian missions is surrounded by hospitality. That is, hospitality was a key factor and still is a key factor in missions to spread the gospel, to practice Christian fellowship, to give care to people in need, and as a venue of Christian discipleship. Benita Long, in his work on Christian hospitality, summarized it this way. Evidence will confirm that throughout its entire history, although in varying degrees, hospitality has served as a central tenet, a consistent thread, and an ongoing leitmotif of Christian faith and witness. And in my study of Christian history and the growth of the Christian church, that is true. Christian hospitality has always been part, central, leitmotif in doing work for the Lord. So this evening, we want to encourage ourselves to practice Christian hospitality. And perhaps we can help one another take down the yellow tape, if there is yellow tape around our homes. So let's begin by reading God's holy word, Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. The grass of the field withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God abides forever. Now, did you notice verse 13? The text says, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. So the word hospitality is in our text, And so what is it? And that's the first point we want to cover this evening. Hospitality is what? Well, interestingly here, the Greek word is made up of the word love and stranger. So being hospitable means literally loving strangers. So being hospitable means that we love people that we don't know that well, or we love neighbors, or we love even strangers on the street. What Paul is saying is you not only meet the needs of the saints, as the text says, contribute to the needs of the saints, but also we love strangers. The writer of Hebrews gives us the idea in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. It says, let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now, we don't have time tonight to go through the New Testament doctrine of hospitality. But let me just say this, that the New Testament doctrine of hospitality comes from the Old Testament. It comes right out of the Old Testament. The life of faith for God's people was showing God's love to strangers and foreigners in Old Testament Israel. It says in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 33 and 34, the stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Now, Israel was to love their neighbor as themselves. Israel was to show kindness to the stranger, because this reflected the very heart of God. For you and I to be godly, that means that we are to care for people around us and even love the stranger. That's so plain for us in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter number 10. Here we read of God's heart. In Deuteronomy 10, in verse 12, it says, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth and all that is in it. Yet the Lord set his heart and love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples as you are this day. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and hold fast to him, and by his name you shall swear. So God loves the stranger. God loved Israel even when they were in Egypt. The heart of God is love, and his love extends to strangers. So putting all of this together, we learn that hospitality is the action of receiving and ministering to friends or strangers who are in need by showing them godly love and human respect, knowing they are created in the image of God. Rosaria Butterfield put it this way. Hospitality is using your Christian home in a daily way that seeks to make strangers neighbors and neighbors part of the family of God. It brings glory to God and serves others and lives out the gospel in word and in deed. Now, Echo has my outline and has my document and the handout for this first section of our talk. And you'll find these quotes there if you would like it. But this is a beautiful way to put it by Rosaria Butterfield. To make strangers neighbors and neighbors who don't know the Lord, if God wills it, through us witnessing to them, also part of the family of God. We can better understand what hospitality is when we look at its purpose. Again, Rosaria Butterfield put it this way: the purpose of hospitality is to build, focus, deepen, and strengthen the family of God. It's about pointing others to the Bible-believing local church and being earthly and spiritually good to everyone that crosses our paths. That's what hospitality is. It's loving strangers. It's loving people in a godly, God-like way, because it's from the heart of God, as we will continue to see this evening. My second point from Romans chapter number 12 and verse 13 is not only what hospitality is, but this, that Christians seek to show hospitality. Did you notice that action word in verse 13, the action word of seek? Now, most of us have seen a nature show, right? Where a cheetah is chasing a gazelle. That cheetah is seeking, or he is given to the chase, concentrating all his muscles to run after his prey. Well, this illustration describes the meaning of that Greek word, seek. It means to run after. It means to be so concentrated that you're pursuing it. And the action of the verb here in verse 13 is a continual action. And so we are to continually run after loving people. We're to continually pursue loving people in our homes and in our lives to bless them with God's blessing and God's love. Now, hospitality, Christian hospitality, does not seek to bless other people with human goodness or human gifts. No, we are seeking to bless people with God's love. Yes, there will be physical gifts involved with it, and physical food and physical homes. But really what we're trying to do is give the love of God. As He's given that love to us, we want to be a channel to give that love to them, and we earnestly seek to do it. But also we realize in the context that hospitality is part and parcel of being a Christian. Did you notice the context of verse 13? It's in the context of Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, by the mercies of God, I beseech you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed in the renewing of your mind, that you may approve what is that perfect and complete and wonderful will of God. So in context, showing hospitality, like the gifts of the Spirit and like the excellent graces in verses 9 and 10 and 11 that are listed here, is Christian. Hospitality is in this list of what Christians, by God's grace, do because they are people of grace. You see, because God saved us through Jesus, our lives, our homes, our time are the Lord's. Showing hospitality is part of being holy unto God. It's part of holy living. It's part of being a sacrifice unto the Lord. It's the way of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, it's part of renewing our minds. You see, our culture's thinking is individualism. It's individual safe privacy. You leave me alone, and I'm going to leave you alone. And our nation and our culture says, if people have needs, let them go to the counselor. If people have needs, let them go to get social assistance. I've got my life to run. They've got their life to run. They have their tablets, they have their phones, they have all of these resources. Let them do their thing. I'll do my thing. And this individualism has touched Strathroy, it's touched Chatham, it's even touched our own lives. There are more lonely people today than ever before. Just do a study on how many people today, particularly the millennials, you who are younger, who are lonely. You see, the gospel, though, changes all of this. We are the Lord's servants, and this means we love people for His sake and their good. We don't love people because they're nice, because not all of us are always nice all the time. We don't love people because of what they can give to us. We love people because they're made in the image of God and because we love God. So as Christians, our thinking should not be me, but it should be hospitality. But now, why is this so important to the Christian church and life? Why is this hospitality so important to the Christian church and life? Well, you see, the entire book of Romans really brings this home. And that brings me to the third point. We've seen what hospitality is. We know that Christians are people who seek after hospitality. But here we have this third point. Hospitality is what mankind needs because of sin. We as Christians seek after hospitality because we know this world is fallen. God came into this world because it fell into sin. You see, this point comes out in Romans chapters 1, 2, and 3. First thing we need to realize this evening is that sin has messed up human relationships. We don't have time to read it all, but think of this in Romans chapter 1. Let me just read this to you. Romans chapter 1, verse 28. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. You know, people who live like this, do you want to be with them? Do you want people like this in your home? Gossips, slanderers, disobedient, boastful, inventors of evil, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless, disobedient to parents. See, that's who we were. We were born sinners. But by the grace of God, we would have been living Romans chapter number 1. And you see, with this kind of sin brings loneliness and division amongst human relationships. You know, take the example of disobedient to parents. There's a young person who's just rebellious against their mom and dad, and then they leave the house and they're on the street and they're all alone, feeling guilty of what they've done, trying to hide what they've done, trying to soothe their conscience. You know, sin has just wrecked human relationships. As Stephen Wilkins wrote, sin makes it so that there is no friend to turn to for help because sin isolates men from one another. Sin by its very nature is a proud, selfish, insistent on going one's own way. And so loneliness abounds. Unfriendliness abounds too. We can live 5 feet apart in our neighborhoods and we don't know each other. This is indicative of a godless society. We don't trust each other either. And this loneliness can be in the church too. You know, it takes effort for all of us here who attend a Reformed church faithfully, doesn't it? It takes effort for us not to be like marbles in a jar where we bump into each other just once a week. It takes effort for us to be involved in one another's lives, to share our lives with one another. And so sin has messed up our relationship with one another. But sin also messed up our relationship with God. We read of that in Romans chapter 2 and 3. In these chapters, Paul shows all mankind to be guilty before God. We cannot read these chapters and think that mankind is healthy and strong and not in need of hospitality. Mankind is in desperate need of love, God's love and our love as the Christian church. People need God. And yes, they need us as Christians to show them God, to love them, because sin has messed up their link with God. Just like sin messed up our relationship with God, except God has had mercy and love upon us. And we're now saved and we're His children. So hospitality is seeking to meet the spiritual and emotional and, if needed, physical needs of sinners. It's helping spread the love of God to them. It's being like the Lord Jesus Christ, because He came, He cared, He touched, He served, and He helped strangers, sinners. And this, of course, brings me to my next point, that hospitality is what God, through Jesus, gives to needy sinners. Now, if you read Romans chapter 4, all the way through to the end of chapter number 11, there you read about the gospel of justification by faith, of the glorious gift that we have peace with God, that God becomes our Father. We realize what God has done for strangers who rebelled against Him. God has loved us in our need, my friends. He opened His door of mercy and grace, came out to seek sinners, to bring them back into His eternal kingdom. These chapters 4 through 11, tell us that God, through Jesus, met our need of righteousness, met our need of heaven, met our need of a home, met our need of peace, of new life, of victory over sin, of death, of victory over death, of the power of the Holy Spirit, of adoption, of the truth that now we have our Father in heaven as our Heavenly Father. On the cross, Jesus died to atone for all the sins of His elect. And by His resurrection, He has given to us who are His people new life. Our God has so wonderfully met our needs that we are truly the richest people on earth as Christians. We will never be out in the cold again. We will for all eternity be satisfied. We will for all eternity be in our family. In the Lord Jesus, Psalm 65 verse 4 is true of us, which says, "Blessed is the one you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. They shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple." So to summarize, dear friends, we needed someone to be hospitable to us. We needed someone to reach out to us, and God did it. Through Christ, God gave us salvation. He gave us a home, and we became part of the family of God. And this has brought all of us joy, comfort, and peace. Well, having learned that, let's now come back to Romans 12, verse 13. Knowing what hospitality is, knowing that Christians seek after hospitality, and Christians seek after hospitality because this world has fallen in sin, and because God Himself is our example of showing hospitality in the great love He has with us, God now gives us, as His children, the ministry of hospitality. And hospitality, loving strangers with godly love and loving people with godly love, is a ministry through which God spreads His love in the world. That's the point of Romans number 12 and verse 13. Hospitality is a ministry through which God spreads His love in the world. Now, we need to learn this. First of all, that hospitality is a family ministry. All right? We're a Christian family. You and I are brothers and sisters in the Lord. If you're a Christian tonight, then you are my brother, you are my sister, we are the family of God. Well, usually when we do hospitality as our individual families, the whole family is involved. Well, the Lord has included all of us in His family, in His hospitality, in His ministry. It's a family ministry. It's a Christian ministry. It's a church ministry. Out of love, God has adopted us and has happy children. And we, as happy children, present ourselves as living sacrifices to God to be used by Him. And it pleases our Father to include us in His ongoing work of love and mercy in this world. Do you remember back in October when we learned methods of evangelism? God has decreed by His eternal decree and wisdom to save all of His elect that are in this world from every tribe, tongue, and nation through evangelism, through the church's ministry of preaching the gospel, through the word comes faith, through our help. We are part of God's family. God is still saving His people, but we're now His children, and our Father has enlisted us. And part of that ministry is hospitality. Secondly, Christian hospitality meets needs. God's love meets needs. So if we love the needy in the name of the Lord and love our friends in the name of the Lord, we will meet needs because God's love always meets needs. God in His love feeds the hungry, sometimes through us. God in His love sometimes clothes people through us. God gives the gift of friendship to the lonely or fearful or hurting person through us. God often gives the gospel to the sinner through us. Practicing hospitality focuses our attention on the struggles, needs, and joys of others. We listen to their problems. We listen to their ideas. We pray with them and for them. We share the gospel with them. They share hurts and pains with us. We share our lives together, and we do it as Christians in God's name. And as that occurs, needs are met. Because remember, God's love always satisfies and meets needs. The whole world, mankind in his sin is trying to rebel against that. But we know the truth, that if they knew the love of God, they would be the happiest people in the world. Because God's love always satisfies. And then there's this. Christian hospitality is not only a family ministry. Christian hospitality not only meets needs, but Christian hospitality strengthens the church. It strengthens this congregation. It strengthens your congregation. If your church from where you are from practices Christian hospitality within the church and within your neighborhood, your church will be strengthened. We know that it's a tool of evangelism. I mean, imagine what might happen when you have unbelievers and all their needs right in front of you in your house. And think you have the Lord Jesus with you as well and the endowment of the Holy Spirit too. And so as you love them and share yourself with them, you will also be able to live and speak the gospel of Christ to them. And the Holy Spirit will use that according to His will. So it's a tool of evangelism, and it's a tool of discipleship as well. And it's a tool for encouragement in the church. So hospitality is a great tool, a tool of evangelism, a tool of discipleship, a tool of encouragement. For many years, Dr. Francis Schaeffer and his wife Edith ran a house of Christian hospitality and study in Switzerland, and they called it Le Brie. They opened their hearts and homes to hundreds of people seeking biblical answers to life's challenges. And in her book, What is a Family?, Edith Schaeffer offers this counsel. Every Christian home is meant to have a door that swings open. No yellow tape. We know what hospitality is. We know that as Christians we are to seek after it. And why? Because the world is a broken place. And we know we need to give the love of God to people from all walks of life, from in the church and outside the church. And we know we're to live this way because God has lived this way. He showed us hospitality by loving us who were strangers and estranged to Him and saving us and sending His only begotten Son to be our Redeemer. And now that we're in the family of God, we are part of His family and part of His work. And part of His work is doing Christian hospitality. All right, so that's the first part of having the truth in our head and in our heart. Well, now we come to the second part, and that is practical points to practice hospitality. So first of all, we have to get a dishwasher. All right, so maybe some of you already have a dishwasher. Well, I know I'm trying to be funny, but it's true. Dishwashers are great when you do hospitality. And I don't know if I do some dishes, but we do have a mechanical dishwasher, so it does the majority of our dishes. All right, so what do we need to do to encourage us? What are some practical points? Well, the first one is you need to renew your mind about hospitality, brothers and sisters. Now, here I am challenging you to learn about hospitality as it is taught in the Bible. We've done some learning from Romans chapter 12 here tonight, but I've just scratched the surface. So I really want to encourage you to read these books. Now, when I recommend these books, that doesn't mean I agree with everything in these books. But you know what? We always do this at our meal times. We eat the meat and spit out the bones. And so please do that if you read these works. The first one is by Rosaria Butterfield. And I read that. It's just been a recent publication, a recent release. And I read that in preparation for tonight. And it is fantastic. It is really good, both philosophically, theologically, and practically. The stories are excellent. She's a real woman of faith. Her and her husband work hard at this. And she has a great amount of practical advice, but also a lot of great ideas. So I recommend this book very highly, and you can get it for $26 hardcover, but you can get a soft cover for cheaper.